Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is positively a weird, weird time for all of us, not just in real life or wearing masks or doing business or trying to stay safe, but trying to figure out exactly when the Ravens are going to play, and then once they play, who's actually going to be on the field. Dennis Colatzos does that frequently here at WNST. Of course, you can hear him on the Thursday afternoons from 3 until 5. I'm not sure if that's the post-game show, the pre-game show. That was going to be the pre-game show for the Cowboys on Thursday. Dennis, we get together every couple days. I can't think of anything weirder than what we've witnessed here, and I think for all of us, and you have such great pride in your brand, and I see all the things that the Ford Motor Company's doing because I see the ads, and I think of what the NFL did to its brand putting a team on the field without a quarterback on Sunday and whatever this is going to be on Tuesday night. And then whatever the plank of that is over the next 3, 4, 6, 8 weeks with how they are treating the plague.
Yeah, this was by far the weirdest sports week and I can remember in a long, long time. The Broncos playing without a quarterback. You have Patrick Mahomes throwing for 359 yards in the first half, the highest total in 40 years against a very good Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. You have Derrick Henry rushing for 140 yards in the first half against the Indianapolis Colts, and Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. lacing them up. I mean, so it just gets, everywhere you turn. We had a female college kicker for the first time ever kick off in the college football game. And, of course, that segues into the Ravens game Tuesday night, which – I have no idea what it's supposed to look like. I really have lost track of all the players that have tested positive for COVID-19. I'll tune in, but I really don't know what I want to be looking at. And I had low expectations, in regards to the Ravens winning this game at full strength. And now I know that the Steelers also have had some players test positive, but certainly I don't expect a really good outcome for the Ravens come Tuesday night.
I don't think any of us do. The reason I love having you on the show and having you here, I mean, you're a leader. You run a place. You've run places. You believe in brands. You believe in the power of repeat customers and word of mouth. And I would say to you, what is the standard of Coons Ford? Would you sell me a car where a button is broken? Would you sell me a car where the windshield wiper might be a little off or double? You probably wouldn't. And I know the NFL's put over 100 years into their brand. What they did on Sunday afternoon by sanctioning that to be punitive to the Broncos because they had to take their medicine because their quarterbacks are watching the wrong news programming and probably taking this thing the wrong way and, all got together and they're on videotape, right? They have the wristband, so like there's no, Bobby wasn't out at the club or, whatever. There's none of that. They were caught. And the punishment is we all get to watch a team play without a quarterback. I mean, I don't know. And listen, I'll hear that whatever the Ravens had going on in the strength and conditioning room, and, that'll be in Purple Rain 3 if there is ever such a thing, that nobody's talking this week and there's hip of this and there's all of this. But they're gonna pull the top off this in Pittsburgh on Tuesday, and they're going to put the lights on, and they're going to have to go play a football game. And I don't think it's going to look a whole lot better. I would think RG3 is a capable quarterback, but I would just think with all the moving parts and an undefeated team on the other side, and they haven't practiced in 10 days, I would think it. This is something that Steve Bisciotti and Dan Rooney would look at the same way that Henry Ford would look at you if you sold a car knowing that half the door panel was off and you didn't really care and it had his name on it. That's the part where I'm losing my mind for the fact that the league is sanctioning this and saying, hey, it was in the 164-page bylaws that you get sick, your backup wide receiver plays quarterback. That's the way we do things here in the NFL.
Well, it's really going to come to light, Nestor, is when the playoffs come around and let's say Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady test positive and they have to miss 2 games. At that point, using the same standard that they're applying today, those guys can't play. They can't delay the playoffs because in the essence of fairness, they haven't done a whole lot to this point. So to be consistent and to be a consistent league, and that's when you're going to really feel some pain because you talk about fan bases losing their mind and never mind the ripple effects by those players missing those important games, the playoff games. That's when you're going to really see that they should have done something different. Perhaps a bubble would have been a better idea. And it's either all in or all out, you know. But when you stick your toe in the water and you have a wait and see attitude, it's not surprising that we are where we are today with outbreaks, not just on the Ravens, but several other teams, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
Well, Dennis, that's my point on this, is where we're, and I talked to Marty Conway, and Luke and I got very, very animated. You know what I mean? We don't usually disagree in the way that we disagree. He called it a WWF fight. You can go listen to it at Baltimore Positive, you wish. But it was the first time we like got together and discussed this. It was early in the morning for me on Monday morning. And thinking about watching that Broncos thing and thinking about the standard of the league, and that someone is not an adult. Someone doesn't come in and say, "We're the National Football League. We don't do that. We can't sanction that. That's not a fair fight. It's not the kind of coffee we serve at Royal Farms. It doesn't have the blend of the Wake and Bake and the Tahark. It's not suitable for our customers." Right? I mean, you at some point you've seen a car on your lot with the wrong dent, with the wrong scratch, with the wrong whatever, you're like, "Time out. Can't sell that car right now. Can't do it. It's got my name on it." I foolishly, from the time I've been a Houston Oilers fan, believe that sort of mattered. Now, maybe not in strike time or scab time, which you remember that, you know, when we were kids as well. I mean, the Baltimore Colts were involved in that. So, and I remember that as well. And I was, you know, 13, 14-year-old kid learning about unions. My dad was a part of one. I joined one, right? All of that. But this is self-inflicted. And they would say, well, the Broncos inflicted it upon themselves. And some like you or I may say, well, if we had the right Mr. Coons in our family here in Denver, we might not have played that game because Jerry Jones might not have sanctioned that. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's really going on with Bisciotti behind the scenes with Rooney, but I know they're not going to be real proud of what they're putting on the field on Tuesday night, nor should they be.
Well, here's the deal, and we love our organization. They usually make the right calls more often than not. And let's look at RG3 or Tyler Huntley, the other quarterback. You're putting those guys at risk when you have such a makeshift offensive line, right? I mean, RG3 has already been injured in his career. And if they're going up against that fierce Pittsburgh Steelers defensive front, their front seven is intact as far as I know. So is their secondary. You're putting him in harm's way. So to me, the prudent thing here to do is to forfeit the game. I wouldn't, if it was up to me, I wouldn't roll this team out there. I'm going to watch because it's the Ravens. I love the Ravens, and maybe I like watching train wrecks like everyone else. But I think the business thing to do, the humane thing to do, just for the overall well-being of the organization, you forfeit the game.
After right? watching the Broncos play that game, Dennis.
Yes.
You know, I haven't this is the first, you know, that I've thought about forfeit, because I've talked about if you don't have players, you should forfeit. Now, that being said, the players don't get paid if they don't play. So there's a whole different – that's another argument that comes in the side door that you could say, well, we'll pay – Bisciotti will say, well, we're paying you anyway. I will pay you to not play because we've had a plague. We've had an outbreak. I care about Calais Campbell. I care about Mark Andrews. I care about the next round of guys. I care about Stephon Truitt. And, I care about the other players. Stop this. Where was the plan to bubble up? Dennis, every scientist in the world told them this plague was going to rage back. I cannot believe they did not have a nuclear option in week 6, in week 10, that they were not evaluating this the way Dr. Fauci is evaluating the daily chart. That, hey, man, when America goes haywire, we're not going to stand up and say, well, we're the NFL. We're just going to play. You know what I mean? Like, when America's struggling, there would be a point where they would say there's been too many hospitalizations. It would fall on the flag, if you will, to say, you know what, we're going to take a month down here, and we're going to get our families safe. We're going to get our people safe. Dennis, as a business proposition, they could roll out a World Cup model and complete this season without playing with the Broncos with no quarterback and the Ravens without a team. Because now that they've done it now, What happens next week? And to your point, the week after that, every scientist has told us this is going to get worse. We've seen it every day, and now it's hit all these teams. It hit Pittsburgh this week. This is a very easy time for the league to do the right thing, and the right thing is not sending the Broncos off to play a game without a quarterback because their quarterbacks behaved poorly. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Well, I've heard people refer to football as a contact sport, and this was inevitable. And that's where they're making the mistake. Football is not a contact sport. Basketball is a contact sport. Soccer is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport, right? So when you have those collisions, I mean, you're going face mask to face mask, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines. They're not 6 feet apart. They're not social distancing. You know, you have excrement coming out of their mouths and whatnot. You have sweat. So the odds of these players catching COVID-19 are extremely high. And that's where you have to make that distinction. So whether the plan was at the beginning of the year to bubble the league or play four games and take 2 weeks off and carve it up into four increments, right, or three increments of four games apiece, whatever, the plan has been wrong, right? So, and to your point, these players get 17 game checks every year. It's not a stretch for Steve Bisciotti, you know, being a billionaire, to pay the players not to play because he does care about them, right? So whatever the question is, this is not the right answer. And
I mean, to some degree, Bisciotti should stand up and say, you know what?
Absolutely.
I'm not sanctioning. In the same way Angelos – there you go. I said something nice about Peter. There you go. All these years. You ready? I'm going to take Peter's side. You ready? Dennis, we're not sanctioning this type of activity. We don't believe this is Major League Baseball. I heard that's exactly what he said to me. I have the tapes, right? I can see Bisciotti saying, we're not getting on the plane. I mean, I watched the Denver thing. I'm not going to sanction it. Roger, fine me. Do whatever flying, you know what, you want to do. But I'm not putting my players at risk. I'm not putting the Steelers at risk. If you want to give us an L, give us the forfeit, we'll take it. But I don't think we should put that on television and put our shield on it for 3 hours. Oh. I don't think it's in our best interests. And man, you can hear that right out of 32 owners where someone would stand up and just say, come on, man, this isn't the Rolling Stones. We don't have Mick. We can't play. We shouldn't play. We should postpone this.
Yeah, they're putting their players at the Ravens I'm talking about here. They're putting them at physical risk. I was just thinking, never mind the quarterbacks, but the running backs. You know, if you're Gus Edwards or Justin Hill, I mean, if you're running behind a makeshift line, you know, with guys you don't even know who they are, you can look at a scorecard to see who's playing, you know, left guard and right guard.
And they've never practiced together.
They've never practiced together, right? So you're going to get dinged up. You're going to get hurt. So is it worth the one game check? So even as a player, I think I would feel better to opt out. I know when I played in high school and college, I used to hate when coach used to, you know, clear out the bench to get some of the role players in late in the game, left me in as a running back. I'm thinking, I got to run behind guys who I don't have confidence in. So I would look to the side like, hey, coach, what about me? You forgot about me. I didn't want to run behind those guys because, you know what, I wanted to preserve myself for the next game. And so I can see some of these players having some angst and apprehension about going in there behind makeshift lines on the offense and the defense, because if the other team is at full strength, you know, the odds of you getting hurt increase incrementally, and life's all about risk management. So how do you manage and mitigate that risk? To me, there's no good reason for the Ravens or the Steelers, for that matter, to play this game. They should just forfeit the game, you know, go 6-5, get healthy, and then on to the Cowboys. And that's another strange game, right? Uh-huh. December the 7th at 5 p.m. You know, who's going to watch at 5 p.m.?
Dennis, it's my thought, and I'm the entrepreneur of the week here, that they could shut this down, come back if they really had a plan to go to Vegas or to, you know, California is probably another story. They can't – Santa Clara, their governor's throwing them out of the state at this point, right? So I don't know what the chance – I mean, Arizona has a dome, you have plenty of hotel, you know, all of that college facility, things that they could use to bubble up. What have they been doing the last 6 months? You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't have, If plan A, B, C, and D and E was we're going to play without quarterbacks, we're going to play without teams, we're going to play high, we're going to play on Tuesday, we're going to play on Thursday, we're going to play on Monday at 5. You know, it was like baseball, seven-inning games. Oh, we're going to have a doubleheader. Well, you know, pitchers can't pitch to more than one back. Like, at some point, I know I brought this up, and I know it harkens back memories of Essex because I saw Eddie Fader pitch down at Stemmer's Run. I did, right across from Al Seifert, right across from the old Giant down there, Stemmer's Run on Eastern Avenue. I saw him come in with the red, white, and blue, and I've been using the Eddie Fader reference to say, boy, this starts to become an exhibition season instead of like a real competition. And I know the NFL doesn't believe in sanctioning that. I just thought somebody would step in here, like the old Bowie Kuhn, right? In the best interest of the game, that somebody would step in and say, is this what George Halas would have allowed? Really?
Well, also, the 49ers can't practice in their own county, I believe. I saw a blurb about that. They've shut it down. So now they have to find a different facility. So now you're also getting into different states and counties and whatnot and regulations. This whole thing is a mess. It really is from A to Z. And I don't know how they – I think they have to call a timeout at some point and you know, reset the season, whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Get everybody healthy. Get everybody on the same page and just hit the restart button, Esther. That to me, that's the only way out.
Well, to your point at playing games on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock on Monday, I'm a big World Cup fan. You know, to me, the NFL would have whatever they want in January, February, March in the television calendar. They'd have everybody's, you know, eyes. They could play a Super Bowl in April and still come back and play football in September. If there's so many things they could do besides sanctioning what I saw on Sunday. I mean, I I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be – you got to do better than this. This isn't good enough. And I'm not a Broncos fan. I am a fan of what they've been selling me for 50 years. All the BS about integrity and fair play and weak player safety and conditioning and all of that. I've bought into all of that. And then I watch them sanction a game without a quarterback, and I don't know. It sort of reminds me of like when J-Lo was a judge on American Idol, and I watched it for like 14 weeks, and then the finals came, and she lip-sang. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm like, I can never take you seriously again. I mean, are you kidding me? You're on a singing show. You just lip-synced on a singing show. You know what I mean? Like jumping the shark like Fonzie, you know? Once you don't believe it's real anymore. I mean, I believe Fonzie could hit the jukebox and make it roll, right? But, you know, I believe he had a way with girls and like all that. But once Mork from Work shows up, it's just, you know, you lose it all. I saw a guy who's not a quarterback in the NFL who's not even an NFL player, like literally, right? He's a go out and have to play against the New Orleans Saints. Why don't they just bring Gus the Kicking Mule out? You know what I mean? Like that part of it, I almost can't get over it. I mean, I'll get over it, but I am at the point where like, how many more of these are you going to do? Because one was one too many. Like you selling a car that's not good enough, right? One is too many.
I didn't watch the game, Nestor. I Googled to see who the quarterback was, and I saw he was a wide receiver, 23-year-old player. I figured he'll just hand the ball off, and I saw he was 0-for-4 on my Twitter feed and didn't even tune into the game. Then I saw on the NFL scoreboard how the game was getting out of hand. I had zero interest in watching that game. In fact, I was watching a home improvement remodeling show. I binge-watched that for the entire day. I didn't watch any football because, again, I lost interest, to be frank with you, at least in the moment. In the moment, I lost interest. I can care less. You know, you got the 4-win Giants, you know, leading a division after 11 games. I mean, so that division in itself is a joke. The Broncos playing without a quarterback is a joke. The scenario and the setup between the Steelers and the Ravens, to me, it's a joke. It's a bad joke. I'm not minimizing it, and I'm taking it very seriously. But to me, it's one of those you got to be kidding me. And thank goodness that. You know, our season tickets, whatever, we don't have to pay for them this year and whatnot, because that would really add insult to injury. But again, just circling back to your point, this thing is a catastrophe and a farce. They have 11 games in, Nestor. They can call the high timeout, shut down the league for a month if you have to. You get injured players back, you get everybody healthy, and maybe you come up with a better game plan to finish out the season get into the playoffs and give us the brand that we're accustomed to seeing.
That money will be there.
It's not going anywhere. And, you know, the players are going to get paid. If you're not going to pay them for a month, it's okay. If they're going to miss four games, or you pay them, and then they just owe you those games going forward. You're going to pay them either way. What difference does it make? It makes zero difference. And it makes a big difference to us and to them, everyone.
Yeah, they could play 7 days a week. They literally could do that for a month to play out the season. They could pot it. Games would start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, February 19th. The weather would be nice. They'd be in a dome. And you know what? I'd be like a fish. They would have, you know what I mean? They'd reel me in, and I'd be like, you know what they didn't do? They didn't put the Broncos out there without a quarterback. I mean, Dennis, I don't mean to be macabre here. I just thought of this because so much of this is just coming to me because I have never in my life had to think about this until I watched it at 4. I thought about it during the day, and I was a little pissed on Sunday morning. I was a little, you know, I was a little flippy on social media. And then I watched it thinking like it was like watching, a mismatch and, you know, something out that it was just going to be awful. And it was. And the aftermath is awful. And now that it's been sanctioned, they're trying to do it to us. And they might be doing it to your team next week or that team. And I don't mean the Jets stinking or the Hugh Jackson Browns or the Detroit Lions of 0-16. I mean, I'm talking about if the Ravens were sending their players to the facility in a bus, in three buses. And one of the buses went down the side of the road, and 20 of the players, none of them are dead, but they're all beaten up. A couple of broken arms are in the hospital, all fine. Would they go play the game? I don't know. When planes go down, I don't know. But, like, if 20 guys in a Ravens bus caravan went into a ditch before the game on the way to the airport to Detroit, and it, you know, again, nothing too macabre, but just, they were banged up and they couldn't play, what would they still play? And I would think, no, they shouldn't play. It's not – that's what this is to some degree. And it's a plague and it's contagious. And I think – Dennis, this is where the full circle of this – and I read Peter King's work. And look, everybody in Owings Mills is hiding under the desks now, right? I haven't seen any Chad Steeles. I haven't seen any John Harbaughs. I haven't heard from Bishotti. I haven't heard from anybody, right, about any. So we're all guessing to some degree about all of this. But there's a humanity part of this where Calais Campbell has a pre-existing condition. Mark Yep. Andrews has a pre-existing condition that we should be concerned about them. The Steelers were more concerned about playing, and then their guys start to get sick. There is a part of shaming that goes on with this, that the league making the Ravens play and the league making the Broncos play is the punishment for the codicil on page 119 about all of the protocols, and it is literally a punishment to these teams to shame them for having a strength and conditioning coach stupid enough to do whatever stupid thing he did.
But that's going to happen. I don't blame the organization, right? Because, you know, you know John Harbaugh better than I do. He runs a tight ship. I can't imagine John being aware of this strength and conditioning coach not wearing his mask or not following the proper protocols without, being on top of the guy and the guy facing severe consequences prior to infecting everyone. So you, as a leader, you can't be in every nook and cranny of your organization.
But Dennis, can I ask you this? There are people that I wear that mask to protect me and to protect you.
Sure.
I don't wear it because Larry Hogan told me I have to wear it. Now, that's one reason to wear it, right? So I would tell you that those quarterbacks, and again, this thing has been politicized to a point that I can't even, you and I would get way off track if we went down that road. But there are people who only wear it because they were told to wear it, not because they really believe they're susceptible or really believe the science or believe it just doesn't apply to them or that's something that happens to other people. Because we all, with seatbelts, with all sorts of things in life, we look at speed limit. You know, that's, you know, it's close enough, you know, wherever it is, golf, tap it in, you know, oh, that's cheating. Oh, okay. I don't know, but I would think those quarterbacks, part of it was, day off, nobody's here. We don't have to put – that's pretty much what it by all accounts, that's why the league went after them and made them play, because they just sort of brazenly broke the rules. My question is, how many of the people really believe that they can catch it, that it's at that level, that their life depends on wearing the mask, like literally, like when my wife was compromised, like her life depended on me being clean, and I treated every transaction in that way. I think there's a large percentage of humans, I'll wear it when I go in, sign says I have to wear it, I don't know why the hell I'm wearing it. Like, there's a lot of that that goes on. I would think that's the same across our society right now. And the Denver quarterback thing has been used as an example of what not to do. But those guys have been watching the news. You know what I mean? Those guys know there's a plague going on. They knew they shouldn't have done it, but it's not about letting guard down. It's just believing you're it doesn't apply to you, right? You can't come to my house.
Well, also age factors in. Let's keep in mind the average NFL career is about 3.5 to 4 years, and most of these players are 25 years or less. I referenced this here, Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiver from the Steelers. He turned 24 years old November 22nd. The male brain doesn't fully grasp and understand consequence until it reaches 25 years of age, right? So you have, and he was making fun of the Ravens, you guys have a problem. Now all of a sudden the problem has shifted to his organization. And to your point earlier, James Conner, who we respect, he had a university in Pittsburgh. He had, he had cancer. He has underlying conditions. Now he also has COVID-19. So it's up to the veterans of these teams and to the coaching staff to getting these younger players' ears, because they just don't get it, Nestor. They think they're invincible. They think it's not going to happen to them. And it's one of those things, you got to be like water on a rock. We face it here in my organizations, and I'm all over my young people, because again, young males just don't get it. That brain is like Jell-O, when you first put it into the refrigerator, and it takes a while for that Jell-O to form and to
so
really get it.
So 24, that was 1992 for me. So I'm trying to think of what the pictures look like, and I was making bad decisions just based on the shorts I was wearing in 92.
Sure we were. So yeah,
I saw my hair.
Look, and some guys just never grow up. And you and I have friends like that, and that they just never get it. They're knuckleheads, and they're always spinning their wheels, and they're never getting ahead. But my point is, these are young men, young people. They just don't get it, and you have to be in their ears daily, several times a day. And there's got to be consequences for them not social distancing and not wearing a mask and not taking it seriously. Sometimes you got to send them home and say, listen, when you get it, when you're ready to grow up and understand this, come back. And if you don't come back, it's okay. But that's the price of leadership, because if you don't pay that price, you're going to get these outbreaks and all these consequences. And I'm not sure how old the strength training coach was, but I imagine he was older than 25, and he should have known better than that. So, and to me, that is a fireable offense. And you just can't – that, to me, should be the consequence for his behavior and actions.
Well, I mean, it has had a massive impact on everything, literally. It affected my Thanksgiving dinner, Dennis.
It did. And, you got to make an example out of somebody. And to me, that's got to be the example. A slap on the wrist, a fine, a suspension. To me, it's not enough. And with me not knowing all the details, but from what's come out of the castle – to me, you got to pay a price for that. There's got to be severe consequences to the person, lighting the match that caused this forest fire to spread.
I guess we'll be watching on Tuesday night. Dennis, take care of yourself. Hold on tight. We're in the middle of this thing. Keep your mask on. Keep everybody safe out of Coons Ford. We'll see you back here at 3 p.m. sharp on Thursday. All right, pal?
Don't leave your office without it. Don't leave home without it. And have it up.
That's a mask. I thought it was a beanie cap.
It's a mask. It's a Ford mask. You know what? And it goes over the nose, too. I have a big nose. But you know what? You got to cover it up.
I need that. If it doesn't fog up my glasses, get it for me. Because I'm having fog issues when I go to the supermarket,
We all have, right? But you got to deal with it. It's what it is, And at that point, you got to put the glasses on the top of the head and flip them over. But this mask is very important. It could save your life and somebody else's life, too. That's the lesson here.
I love that public service announcement. Take care of yourself. Be safe, all right?
Be well. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Dennis Colossus joining us here from Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Our tech service went bing, 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 bing. COVID. Willie's Deed. Mark Andrews down the line. So hopefully we're going to calm down here a little bit. We're going to talk some more football for Tuesday night and then get ready in the aftermath of all that. I still got leftover turkey, so I am happy. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Let my wife tell you about ordering some Taharka ice cream here in the next segment.